You're listening to Cross the Border. My website, crosstheborder.org. If you missed this study or any part of it, you can pick it up. We started Numbers last time. This is our second day in the Book of Numbers. We're moving right along. Maybe two or three more days, and we should have it finished in two or three days. We left off. We were talking about complaining, and we got to the mixed multitude, and had a thought over the break there. And I was thinking about some of the other statements that I made, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So when we have children, they're not born in the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how close we are and how many years we've been, you know, pulling that plow on that straight and narrow, and you know, how many years we've looked forward and not turned back. We still have children that are born of the seed of disobedience. And they're almost like having a mixed multitude amongst us when you think about how they can complain so easily or be disobedient so easily. And it's a difficult thing. We love our children. We don't like to beat them. We don't, but we don't want to see them go astray. So we realize that because we love them, we need to discipline them, even as difficult as it may seem at time. Our love for them and our concern for their souls has to be stronger than I can't think of the right word, but you know how you feel like you don't want to do it, but you have to. So sometimes you just have to spank their little butts. I mean, I have a stick here, or you have a rod of correction, or whatever you have, and sometimes you just have to give it to them, you know. That's when you feel like you know, setting them on fire and burning them up, I guess. But you know, it's not good to do anything in anger, because then you might go too far. And it's never good to use your hand, and it's always good to it's never good to humiliate them either. So I mean, there are some guidelines. You don't want to beat them publicly or spank their butts publicly, for your own sake and for theirs, because there are people who call the police and have you arrested if you spank your child. And believe me, there's plenty of policy enforcers out there who will make a big deal out of nothing. They don't care. They would rather see your children burn in hell than to be disciplined properly. So it's better to hold your anger, to talk calmly to your child. They must know why, if they have any understanding at all. And if they don't have any understanding, perhaps the rod will impart a little understanding to them in time. But remember that we discipline them because we love them. And you should never hit with your hand, although the laws of the governments out here say you should never hit them with a rod. Well, I don't want them to fear my hand. And besides, it hurts. If it's going to hurt them, it's going to hurt my hand. And I don't think if they deserve punishment, that I should hurt myself. And plus, the thing is to react too quickly. If you get used to using your hand to punish your children, if you react too quickly, it may lead to reacting too quickly, because the object of your punishment is always there. But if you have to go find the rod or the stick that you use for punishment, it gives you a few minutes to consider what you're doing, so that you don't react, so that you act rather than react. And like I said, you don't want your children to fear your hand, but you want them to fear the rod of correction that will come, and you should never threaten to use it and then not use it. That's even worse. You might as well have no rod, no correction at all, if it would be better to do nothing than to threaten to do something and then not do it, because then they'll think, well, I can do anything I want, it doesn't matter, because nobody's going to do anything anyway, even though they proclaim that there are rules and consequences. Then they learn that there are no consequences, And the consequences can be dire when they come out from under your hand and they come under the hand of the state and are punished for their disobedience to the laws of the state, because that's what the gun or the power of the gun is given to the state, is to their job under his authority is to punish evildoers. And of course they have a lot of rules that go against things that are lawful in the kingdom of God, so they punish people who are good too. And that's one problem with the state when it gets out of hand, when people start worshiping the state and leaving off, then tyrants are raised up, and well, we can all see where it has all gone. But here they are. There's the mixed multitude that was among them, fell to lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? Oh, we don't like what you're provided for us." You know, and that's, you know, it's like when my children complained and or complained, because I still have a little, I have a 6-year-old, and you know how they can get at times. Sometimes they really can try your patience and your goodness, and when they start complaining about what you've provided for them, when they have so much, so but they want something else. We remember the fish. So there's the temptations, and what is lust here in context? They fell a lusting. So what are they lusting after? Well, they're lusting after one, what they don't have. You know, they desire what they do not have. That's what lust is. You know, that's not a good thing. You're supposed to be happy with what you do have, and especially if you have plenty. Then to complain about what you don't have when you have plenty, you know, that kindles the anger of the father in whatever circumstance. Even if I'm the father and my child is complaining about what they have because we have more than we need, and they're complaining because they want something else that we don't have. And some of us know how hard we work to provide what we do provide. The last thing we want to hear is someone complain that we're not providing the proper thing. So, but now our soul dry away, because there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and the ground, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And so it was like a fragrant oil, and fresh. At least it was fresh. It wasn't, you know, as the taste of spoiled oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of Yahuwah was kindled greatly. Moses was also displeased. And Moses said unto Yahuwah, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me?" So Yahuwah's, his anger is kindled, and Moses is feeling it too. And, you know, and that's what you feel. It's a burden. When people start complaining about nothing, when they have everything they need, yes, more than they need, but they're complaining because they don't have what they had before. And that's what you, you know, that's what we get today. There's so much temptation because our children are barraged by the world and all of the things the world has to offer. You go in the supermarket and there are 10,000 different things on the shelves. How many do we need to eat? You know, and the way I eat, you know, I eat certain foods. I don't have to have a different something every day of the week and every year of the day. I pick staples that I feel are good. And I also pick luxuries, you know, because it's nice to have some luxuries once in a while, as far as food goes. But for the most part, I try to stick to the basics, you know, of the meat and the vegetables and the eggs and some cheeses and certain things, because I want to eat healthy. And of course, I have supplements too. And But there's all this other junk out here and packaged foods and stuff that people lust after. And of course, now the children of Israel, they were lusting after things that were good that they had in the land of Egypt, which they couldn't have in the desert. But the Heavenly Father provided an adequate diet for them in the desert. And of course, they had their flocks and their herds, and they had the quail, and they had the manna, you know, and they had water. So what did they really have to complain about? Really nothing. They were only complaining because they didn't have all the variety that they had in Egypt. And so you have the mixed multitude here, tempting the people, going, well, the leeks, the onions, and then, you know, it starts to travel, you know, through the camp of the children of Israel. So now Moses is saying, wherefore have you afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Because he's feeling their complaining. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou should sayest unto me, carry them in your bosom, as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou sworest unto their fathers? So now we're hearing Moses lament. So, I mean, the complaining, and now goes all the way to the top where, you know, it just spreads through the whole camp. And now Moses lament. Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. So, of course, they blew the trumpet for the captains and of the tribes of the Israel, and that whoever would stand for the people, the elders of their tribes. And so there were 70 men of the children of the elders. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear not thyself alone. So our Heavenly Father found some merit in Moses' lament, and he says, I'm going to take some of the Spirit of you, and I'm going to put it on them. So we have the elders of the tribes, 70 elders coming there to bear the burden, and to feel, and to have the Spirit of Moses put upon them. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of Yahuwah, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore Yahuwah will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and be loathsome to you, because that you have despised Yahuwah, which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among them whom I am, 600, are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And Yahuwah said unto Moses, is Yahuwah's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people all the words of Yahuwah, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And Yahuwah came down in a cloud, and spoke unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease. So the word of the Heavenly Father started coming out of them. Now these weren't the Levites. These were the elders of the tribes of Israel. So now we have prophets among the tribes, the 70 elders. They prophesied. And of course, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Yahushua. And that's from the New Testament, of course, since it has his name in it. They prophesied, they did not cease, but there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad, and the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, and his young men answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. I love this. You know, they're prophesying in the camp. They're prophesying in the camps of their tribes. And what is Moses? And they said, forbid them. But no. You know, remember, the spirit that was upon Moses would now rest upon them, and they prophesied, and they did not cease, and then they went into the camp, and they prophesied in the camp. And Moses said, enviest thou them for my sake? He's saying, you don't want them to prophesy because I am the prophet? You know, because they're used to Moses prophesying, not in the camp, but of course wherever, at the mountain or at the tabernacle or wherever it is that Yahuwah would speak to Moses, there he would prophesy the word of Yahuwah. So prophecy is not just telling the future, as it is become common, you know, the common understanding of the word prophecy today is future telling and fortune telling, or the, you know, telling of the future, but it is speaking the word of Yahuwah. That is the spirit of prophecy. And as it is written, it is the testimony of Yahushua, or the testimony, as it says in the King James Version, the testimony of Jesus. Of course, we know his name is Yahushua, and that no Hebrew would ever have a name like Jesus. So he says, put their spirit upon him that was upon Moses. And he said, okay, let me see where I pick up where I was. Moses said unto him, enviest thou them for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people, that all Yahuwah's people were prophets. He said, would God, and there he uses the word Elohim. So we would translate that God. That's the common meaning of the word Elohim, although it is used for the judges, or for the rulers of the men, or the lawmakers and lawgivers are called Elohim too. So would God, and of course speaking of the God of Israel, that all Yahuwah's people were prophets, and that Yahuwah would put his spirit upon them. And I say, amen and amen. Let his spirit be upon me, and because I love it when his spirit is upon me. And chapter 11, verse 30 in the book of Numbers. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from Yahuwah, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. So, I mean, they're engulfed round about with a lot of quail, let me tell you. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves around about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of Yahuwah was kindled against his people, and Yahuwah smote the people with a very great plague. And of course, who were the people that he smote, but were the complainers of the mixed multitude? And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah to Hazeroth, and abode at Hazeroth. chapter 12 in the book of Numbers. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. And here we're having trouble. Now, Miriam is, who is Miriam? Miriam and Aaron, they're Moses' brother and sister in the flesh. Of course, Aaron is the head of the priests, and Miriam, of course, is his sister. And we've got a few minutes left. I guess we can get into this. They spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So now you got Moses out here. He's 80. Well, let's see. How old is he? Well, He was 40 years old when he left Egypt. He was 40 years later when he came back from Egypt. So Moses is 81 years old, approximately. And he marries the Ethiopian woman. So Miriam is complaining now because of the Ethiopian woman that he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Now, this goes to, there are a lot of people out there and this ungodly thing going on today, the identity crowd. And you'll find that goes with this identity crowd, you'll find, a very racist, flavor to it. And they also have rules against, miscegenation, that is mixing of races. Now, Moses here has taken an Ethiopian woman, obviously a woman of another race, but I'll bet you that this Ethiopian woman was part of the strangers that sojourned among Israel. Otherwise, Moses wouldn't take her. Now, I believe that the law is the same for his people today as it was then, because this woman, this Ethiopian woman, or her family, had to have attached themselves and become as the children of Israel. And they were called the stranger who sojourned among us, as opposed to the strangers who invade. You know, you have people in the land where I live that are invading, and they're bringing their own cultures, their own religions, and their own